Yeah, this is going to be concise. I'm going to kick us off, and then I'm going to turn it over to Peter and Corey. And hopefully the kids, I forgot to mention that there's some refreshments downstairs, but that's good because that'll keep our kids maybe a little more preoccupied. But I just wanted to highlight that I really view just like the culmination of answered prayer and seeing God's providence in bringing Peter and Corey to our church at such a time that it's this that we needed. And I'm just thrilled. They're a wonderful couple that has demonstrated faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness in their marriage, and they've used their marriage to bless other people, to minister and serve in other contexts and settings faithfully. And I'm real delighted about that. And I just want to commend them to you because I think that they, even in taking this on, and I think that God was working in their hearts, and God was kind of, you know, as we were talking amongst the leadership and just the convergence of that timing and conversation, I really feel like, you know, God's fingerprints and hand have been on it. And I've said this before, like I want my kids to be around them and to learn from them. And I'm delighted that they have this sense of calling and that they're equipped to do it. And they've been studying the last few weeks, even when they were on vacation, as was the plan all along from this summer, the culmination of some family time. They've spent time reading books on ministry to youth and understanding that. And I think that's highly commendable. And I did the same thing, and partly because I feel like, you know, just re-ups my conviction that, you know, the primary responsibility for discipling and caring for our children is our job as parents. And one of those books that I recommended to them that I revisited because it came out with a new rendition, a new updated version, is by Paul Tripp, called Age of Opportunity. And I highly recommend this book. I think that one of the bottom lines that takeaways from that is that so many people use and view the season of life that is teenage years as, I just want to survive. It's miserable. They're horrible. We're all, you know, it's all going to burn down and someone's going to die. And instead of saying, no, this is an age of opportunity. This is a season that God would have us actually grow together. And I know that they share that conviction. I know also that we've lost some momentum, and that's going to be a gradual process in ministry to rebuilding ministry with youth. That's also going to be a team effort. It's going to involve you all and me. I also just wanted to say two more things briefly by way of kind of introduction. Part of youth ministry goes beyond, obviously, like an event, a youth group. And one of the best ways for you to get to know them is just, and for your kids to get to know them, is for you to invite them over. So have Peter and Corey come over with little Owen for dinner or dessert one night to get to know your family in your context and your space. So I'm challenging you to hang out with them. And again, whether it's, you know, it's parents, it's not church staff or church volunteers that are the front lines. We spend the most time with our students. We are the most, whether we like it or not, whether we want to take up the responsibility or not, we're the ones who know them best, spend the most time with them, and have the highest calling to be on the front lines to shepherd, guide, protect, and teach them. And they're just trying to come alongside of us because they know that the home, and they're convinced of that too. They're persuaded of that same conviction that the home is the place of discipleship. And yes, to the extent that there are kids that come into our church and into our friends, our kids' friends' lives that don't have that kind of influence in their life, that we as a church collectively, not just staff or volunteers, but we as a church would stand in the gap for some of those youth who are in an age of opportunity, that we would seize that and be a place where that kind of thing can happen. So that's all I wanted to say, just largely to say thank you and just commending how much I appreciate Peter and Corey. So
thank you. I do actually want to start by just complimenting Owen's listening skills because he had sustained eye contact with you.
Oh, wow! That's awesome!
Hopefully he listens that well to me. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, I know we know many of you guys, or we've met many of you guys, and to those of you that we don't know as well, we are high school English teachers, so we've been teaching in the public schools for the past 9 years, which is obviously a different teaching setting, but obviously we have some skills and approaches that we will be looking to carry over here, and that work is important to us, teaching English, but it's hard for us to express just how honored we feel to be put in a position to work with the youth of this church and to share the gospel. So we feel very honored by this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. As teachers, we've always really enjoyed how we can connect with students. And as English teachers in particular, we have a really awesome opportunity to have great conversations with kids and kind of talk about their ideals and their beliefs and have those really good life discussions. But oftentimes, Peter and I have talked like, you know, I really just wish we could bring Jesus into this conversation because there's just so many rich opportunities with teenagers to talk about these things. And I started reading the Aided Opportunity and was just like, it is such a a huge column. He talks about just how every single moment of life there's a moment to talk about, like the impact of the heart and what God is trying to reveal about who we are and how He wants to shape us and to bring about our sanctification. And so that over the years, Peter and I have kind of responded to that desire to talk about Jesus with youth. We served in the youth ministry at our previous church for many years. I started volunteering in 2014, 2015. So I've done pretty much all of the youth events, retreats, I didn't do overnights because I kind of didn't run there because I don't do well without sleep at night. He's keeping me up, so maybe that's whatever. So I volunteered. We did a mission trip to Costa Rica that was really cool. And just kind of, you know, at daily life with students. And then when Peter and I got married, he joined me volunteering for the youth ministry. And he and I did Sunday school together. We led kind of Bible study, format together. We really enjoyed working as a team as we ministered to youth in that context.
Yeah. So yeah, we are very excited to be sharing the gospel with the kids here. It is something we're really excited about doing. That is going to be central to what we do. The church that we came from, we had a lot of positive experiences there, but I think partly through changes in leadership, over time we became concerned that they weren't preaching the gospel. But at Grace, we've just been so happy here. You know, I think the word of God is being proclaimed, the gospel is being proclaimed, but that theology is also really shaping the culture here. So even before we actually started attending, we kind of reached out to Troy and we were just invited in and welcomed from the very beginning, even before we started attending services. But after that as well, we felt just very welcomed by you guys and really experienced truly wonderful hospitality. So we really want to extend that same kind of hospitality and invitation to the youth in the church. That's something that is very important to us. And whether we're doing things that are fun or activities in youth group or building relationship and community, we do want the gospel to be central for us. We want to make sure we're driven by the purpose of making disciples and glorifying God. So we want that to be the core of what we do and how we do things here.
So like Troy was saying, we've been doing some reading, just looking into different ways that we can implement these ideas and build disciples and just create a community or help to foster that, because I think it already exists here and with the youth as well, to keep the gospel as the center. So we want to keep that, you know, frequent gathering with the youth. We're not entirely sure at this point what day we're going to send out a doodle via email, just to see what the availability is for everybody, what works the best. But we're envisioning first and third weeks of the month. Doing kind of like your casual large group activity and then a talk. But then we also were thinking about doing every second and fourth, having more of a Bible study time with the students so that they can really get into the Word together. And that will also help us to promote that discipleship image where we can take some students who feel like they are strong in their faith, they're gaining knowledge, they want to develop more as leaders, and we can help them to kind of think about ways that they could even start to lead Bible study themselves. So I think that might be a good opportunity for us to help them to grow in that way while not requiring them to attend extra meetings or find more time out of their busy lives. So, and we're excited about that because that format has been something that's worked the best for us. It's kind of in our wheelhouse as English teachers to get into the text and ask questions and have discussions. So we're really excited about that as an opportunity. But obviously, we're new at this as directors, so if you have ideas or questions or inspiration that you would like to share with us, we are more than happy to talk with you and to be inspired and learn from you as well. Obviously, we know that not every student is going to be super excited about what we do on a day-to-day basis, whether it be a game or a passage or things that we're doing in youth group, but our goal is to make sure that all students feel heard, and including that's a hallmark of the public school. Every student needs to be involved, and so we're well-versed and well-trained in that, and that's going to be our goal, whatever we end up doing as the structure.
And so, yeah, we don't see youth work as just strictly about events. Obviously, I think having fun is part of building community, but we do see it as a multi-layered endeavor, and we definitely want to involve you guys in that, and we see you all as partners. But we also really want to encourage participation with the kids. We think that the youth group can be a great place for them to have community with one another, but we also want to equip them to be able to fully participate in the life of the church, whether that's worship on Sundays or obviously beyond that as well. And we want them to feel comfortable, you know, in worship service now, but also after high school when they're maybe being sent out or they're leaving home. So that is important to us. And then ultimately, obviously, we want them to be disciple makers, not just within the church, but also outside of the church. And I know that's already happening already, which is awesome, and we're very excited about that. But we do believe that, you know, consistent participation will bear good fruit. So we also want to say that, yeah, obviously, everyone is busy. We're also busy. I'm actually coaching soccer this fall, so we understand that kids will not be able to make every single event. And one thing that we want to do is if a student has missed maybe multiple planned things that we've done, we want to make sure we're still connecting with them and reaching out to them. And we can do that in other capacities, whether that's getting ice cream with them or even just checking in with them via text. So I know we have that card that we pass around, and sharing your children's phone number is optional, but you know, we would love to connect with them however best for them. I know they all have very busy lives as well.
We don't want you to feel obligated to share any information that you're not comfortable sharing, so that is definitely an option. We don't really see ourselves as, you know, doing anything new or like being any kind of answer. Our goal is to just come alongside and learn from the wisdom and collectivism of this group and just facilitate and just try to create more spaces where you can do what you do best and the students can have the community that they feel accepted and loved in. So that's our main goal. So with the contact card, it's really just for us to be able to have all of your information in a concise place so we don't have to search around too much. I know you've probably shared this information with somebody at some point, but we're, yeah, just asking for your name. The best email, if you received Troy's email and that is the best one, then that's great. Just have that one written down. If you want to add another one, that's fine too. If you have more than two students in your group, you can write their info on the back. I don't have enough space to do two, but I think some of you might have more. And then we ask for your address so that we can just keep in mind. I know we're going to be meeting in different people's houses, and we want to be cognizant of who is having to travel more or less to get to youth groups. So we want to make sure there's a balance there. Our goal in communication is ultimately, we'll always be open via email, or if you want to find your Peter's number. I'm going to be a little more available than Peter. I've decided to take some time off from teaching this first time with Owen, so I have a little bit more availability to have those conversations. Peter obviously will become a little bit more available once the soccer season is over. So we want that, but I'm also going to be sending out a monthly newsletter via email to give you guys the information about what we're studying in youth group, any questions that you can carry over for discussion with your students, including any passages of the Bible that might be interesting to study. And obviously, since we want to make sure that everybody knows where we are and when, we'll have the upcoming next month's meeting dates. I want to make sure that we have an entire month of meeting dates so that everybody's on the same page. And we also, in combination with the elders, we want to encourage and equip you as you continue on as you disciple your teenagers. And so we want to pray for you, also, obviously, but also to hopefully provide some resources that might be helpful. Like there's some really great questions for reflection in the Called Image Trip book that Troy was talking about. We can include those in the monthly newsletter as well. So that's just kind of some thoughts that we have for keeping in touch. Last thing, we also we know that there was a winter retreat last year, and it's a long way out at this point, but we are planning to do that again, just so make sure everybody knows that as well.
So we definitely welcome your help and volunteerism, and there will be, I think, a variety of capacities in which you guys can help or volunteer. But yeah, we just want to thank you guys. Thanks for joining us today, and thank you also just for this opportunity to work with your kids. We're very excited about it. So we did just want to open up a little Q&A for you guys, and we just have maybe one or two questions for you as well. But do you guys have any questions about the coming year or anything that we talked about?
Yeah, just curious about middle school and high school. Keeping everything together.
So one thing I wanted to run by you, we've talked just preliminarily about, again, the first and third, a larger gathering with a talk at the end, and then second and fourth weeks of the month, the Bible study. And so I think the vision we had for that was maybe 60 minutes of the middle school and then 60 minutes of the high school, and that also gives us some flexibility where maybe we'll have to talk to the high school students, but maybe some of them feel comfortable leading with us a Bible study. Maybe one or two of them would like to, maybe a 9th or 10th grader would like to work with us in leading a middle school Bible study, and that wouldn't have to be, they could rotate, so maybe they do it 3 times a year or something like that. But yeah, our vision was, maybe keeping them separate, so giving them both an hour of Bible study.
Because the needs of middle schoolers and high schoolers are very different, especially the way that they come out of text and the life issues that they're struggling with.
Is that what you guys would also envision, keeping them separate? All right, cool. Any other questions?
Where do you guys teach
at? I teach at Walpole High School. So I've been there for 9 years. There's a little bit of a commute from Hanover, but...
I was teaching at Plymouth South High School, so we kind of were halfway. So and the poor guy, he was driving 10 minutes to work before we got married, and he had to move to the longest commute for both of us.
35 minutes without traffic, but when you're going on Route 3 North at 6 a.m., it's not 35. can be a long time. Any other questions? All right.
Do you envision to be an
I think at this point, we were thinking doing it at people's homes, but I know that in the past you've rented space. So that is also an option that we're open to.
Yeah, so we can use our house. We also have heard that some families have volunteered to open their homes, which we really appreciate. And we can also look into the possibility of renting space at the U in Hanover or elsewhere. So
I can also send a survey. Email just to see what people's thoughts are about what you would prefer for meeting spaces and times, along with the doodle for the what works best for you.
Yeah. Is there anything that you guys would like to share in terms of what works best in terms of timing during the week or where the meetings maybe you would like for them to be? Any thoughts on that?
I prefer the weekends during the week.
There's a lot of activities.
And you're thinking the evenings typically, right?
Yeah.
In general. I think my vote maybe would be a Friday night.
I was just going to say Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Friday. And we will send out a doodle, so if you want to...
If you're like, no, that doesn't work. Yeah. We'll know. I know you guys were meeting on Sunday afternoons. the last year, so
some Saturdays.
Some Saturdays, okay. So, yeah, whatever we do, we'll try to make it consistent so that everybody knows when it is, so that you can arrange things around that and not have to wonder when it's going to be.
And I think our thought was, you know, because, you know, the school year is beginning and we're transitioning into this, we'll probably do, we'll probably meet really for the first time after tomorrow, which is at 6 at the Albies. After tomorrow would be the 3rd and 4th weeks of September, and then after September we'll do, you know, once a week is our vision. But that first monthly newsletter might be coming out a little bit later in September, but for future months, we really want to make sure we are letting you guys know all the dates before the month begins. So that is our goal. But yeah, if there are no further questions, we can pray.
Are you guys, like, comfortable with